Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, I bring you greetings in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This morning we'll be resuming our series on Deuteronomy 16, which talks about festivals, feasts, and celebrations. But before I start, there is an announcement to make because Alpha is coming very soon. We are having our opening high tea on the 29th of July. And while information will be released to your cell group in due time, actually by this week, if you're interested in serving the Alpha team, please do let me know. Also, if you are planning in bringing a friend or colleague, or if you have not planned to do so, my request is that you begin praying. I think that evangelism is one of the easiest and also one of the hardest things to do. It is hard because sometimes we need to leave our comfort zones and to be courageous. But it is easy because it is the Holy Spirit that leads and convicts. Friends, last year we had 5 people come to know the Lord from Alpha. And over the last few months, we have seen 4 of them being baptized right here in this hall. Indeed, friends, we believe that the Lord will bring His people to Him. But our role is to pray, to discern, and when the moment comes, to have courage to invite our friends and family to come for this. So friends, please take note, Alpha is coming very, very soon. We're starting in a month time. Please do pray and prepare to invite your friends and family members to come. So let's go back to the word of the Lord. Now I want to start with a short story. I grew up in PJ my whole life. I'm a PJ boy. And so ever since I was young, Chinese New Year was spent in the peace and quietness of Petaling Jaya. I remember 20 years ago, on the first and second day of Chinese New Year, it was deserted. It's very hard to find food to eat. And it's actually so quiet that you could probably lie down in the middle of the road and nothing would happen to you. So Chinese New Year was always a quiet event for me and my family. But this all changed when I met my wife around 11 years ago. My wife's family is from Malacca, and she invited me to join them for their New Year celebrations then. As a naive young man, I thought that leaving at 10 a.m. would get me there by 12 noon. But unfortunately, this was on the second day of Chinese New Year. I reached there at 4 p.m. And so for the years to come, I learned that leaving by 7:30 a.m. was of utmost importance. But more importantly, having lived most of my life in KL and PJ, Chinese New Year now became a season where I learned that I needed to plan ahead. I needed to allocate money and time and be intentional in booking a hotel in Malacca each year. Friends, every year, most of us put a stop to our lives and we brave traffic and paying premium prices in hotels. Why? Why do we do such a thing? And I think the reason why is because Chinese New Year is important. And also, family is very important. Friends, festivals exist because they function as reminders that in the busyness and rush of life, festivals remind us of our identity, where we come from, and what really matters to us. And so here in the book of Deuteronomy, as the Israelites prepared to cross the Jordan River, as they prepared to conquer the promised land and form a nation, there became a need to institute these festivals for these reasons. So now we will turn to the word of the Lord together. Let me invite our intern, Tiffana, to bring the word of the Lord to us this morning.
Good morning, church. It's okay, the mic is okay. Today's passage is taken from Deuteronomy 16, verse 1 to 17. I'll be reading from NLT version. Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. In honor of the Lord your God, celebrate the Passover each year in the early spring, in the month of Abib, for that was the month in which the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Your Passover sacrifice may be from either the flock or the herd, and it must be sacrificed to the Lord your God at the designated place of worship, the place He chooses for His name to be honored. Eat it with bread made without yeast. For 7 days, the bread you eat must be made without yeast, as when you escaped from Egypt in such a hurry. Eat this bread. the bread of suffering, so that as long as you live, you will remember the day you departed from Egypt. Let no yeast be found in any house throughout your land for those 7 days. And when you sacrifice the Passover lamb, and on the evening of the first day, do not let any of the meat remain until the next morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover in just any of the towns that the Lord your God is giving you. You must offer it only at the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. Sacrifice it there in the evening as the sun goes down on the anniversary of your exodus from Egypt. Roast the lamb and eat it in the place the Lord your God chooses. Then you may go back to your tents the next morning. For the next 6 days, you may not eat any bread made with yeast. On the seventh day, proclaim another holy day in honor of the Lord your God, and no work may be done on that day. The festival of harvest. Count off 7 weeks from when you first begin to cut the grain and the time of harvest. Then celebrate the festival of harvest to honor the Lord your God. Bring him a voluntary offering in proportion to the blessings you have received from him. This is a time to celebrate before the Lord your God at a designated place of worship he will choose for his name to be honored. Celebrate with your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites from your towns and the foreigners, orphans and widows who live among you. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, so be careful to obey all these decrees. The festival of shelters. You must observe the festival of shelters for 7 days at the end of the harvest season, after the grain has been threshed and the grapes have been pressed. This festival will be a happy time of celebrating with your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites, foreigners, orphans, and widows from your towns. For 7 days, you must celebrate this festival to honor the Lord your God at the place he chooses, for it is he who blesses you with bountiful harvest and gives you success in all your work. This festival will be a time of great joy for all. Each year, every man in Israel must celebrate these three festivals: the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of harvest, and the festival of shelters. On each of these occasions, all men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he chooses. But they must not appear before the Lord without a gift for him. All must give as they are able, according to the blessings given to them by the Lord your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. All right, thank you, Tiffana. Several weeks ago, we released a Bible study material, and there was mentioned prepared by Tiffana Tanya, to which some cell group members asked me, who is Tiffana? Right, that's Tiffana. All right, okay, yeah, she's one of our two interns in MBS. We have four candidates studying their full-time studies on theology right now. They are Tiffana Samuel at MBS. We have Auntie Joy in SBTC and Edwin Key in SDM. Hopefully, they all become pastors. Cough, Edwin. All right, yeah, so that's Tiffana, our intern. She serves in Impact and also for Sunday school. She's from Indonesia. If you can, talk to any of our interns, get to know them, invite them out for lunch, and pray for them as they complete their studies in their seminaries and Bible schools. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we come to hear your word, we ask that you open up our hearts and minds. Help us to be attentive and be receptive to encouragement, rebuke, and correction. Help us to discern what your Holy Spirit says. And may your Holy Spirit change us and shape us to be more like you. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. From this passage, we are introduced to three festivals. You have the most important one, the Passover, and two others, which is the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Booths, or Tents. They all have multiple names. And what we will do this morning is we will try to explore each festival and try to see why and how these festivals were of such significance, not only to Israel, but also to their neighbors in the Middle East. So the first festival we are introduced to is the Passover. And to the Israelites, this was the festival of utmost significance. It was held on the first day of the first month of Abib, which is also known as the month of Nisan, not the car, right? Nisan is the first month of the Jewish calendar. So this was a spring festival, and it is a festival that reminded the Jews of who they were, who saved them, and also of their identity as God's people. I'm sure that we remember from Exodus that the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. Pharaoh refused to let them go. Moses then commanded the Israelites to eat unleavened bread and sacrifice a lamb and put the lamb's blood on their doors. And in the night, an angel of death passed through the land. It passed over the houses of the Israelites, leaving them unharmed. Hence, the name of the celebration, the Passover. But what it did was that it entered into the house of all the Egyptians, and all of their firstborn sons were killed. Now, this was a disaster and a catastrophe. And so big was this event that the Pharaoh was forced to release the Israelites. Now, when I was young, I always questioned, why was this of such significance? I would think that during the other plagues, more people would have died. But what, as I look into the passage, I think that what the firstborn child signifies is the host and the heir. Because in those days, the firstborn child was expected to be the next head of the household. And the patriarchs of each household would pour their resources into the education and nurturing of the firstborn. And it's the firstborn male who will be the next head of the house. And this 10th plague was such a disaster because it ruined the succession planning of every single Egyptian household in Egypt. But anyways, I digress. So the Passover was a festival to remind the Jews of how they were saved and who saved them. The Passover meal was different from any other meal. There would be a strict order of service where certain dishes would be eaten and words and psalms sung during the meal. I think some of us here might have joined a traditional Passover meal when it was held by Dr. Lim Kai Yong in the past. I think it was held here twice. I did it once for CUG last year, or some churches do have this from time to time. Now, if you have joined this before, you will notice that this is a very long meal, about 2 hours. And the meal is very symbolic in nature. One example is that during the meal, you have to dip your hands into the wine 10 times and dip it into the plate as you recite the 10 plagues. Or what you will do is you will take the bitter herbs and dip it into the salt water and eat it, reminding you of the bitterness of the time you spent in Egypt. But yeah, that's not the focus of the sermon today. But here in this passage, I want us to focus on a few things. Firstly, the Israelites cannot just celebrate the Passover wherever they want. But when they celebrate the Passover, they need to go to the appointed place. Now, for most of Israel's history, this appointed place was the temple in Jerusalem, especially after the times of David and Solomon. Another note is the Passover didn't just happen over one day. The Passover lasted for 7 whole days. Now, why is this of such importance? Now, at the start of the sermon, I mentioned that when it comes to our own festivals here in Malaysia, when it comes to return to our own hometown, traveling can be a hassle. It is an expensive and troublesome task to even plan how do you go there and how do you get back. Pastor Jeremy, for example, married Aiteng. Aiteng's hometown is in Tawau, and Pastor Jeremy's hometown is in Penang. So every year he needs to plan how to get to Tawau and how from Tawau to get to Penang and then how to come back here to Kuala Lumpur. Now, this is with a wealth of options that are available to us. We can choose train, we can choose bus, we can drive, or we can even fly. But in those days, there was only one way of transport, which is to walk. And that means that every Passover, if you live further away from Jerusalem, like Jesus in the region of Galilee, you would need to spend 3 days to walk to Jerusalem and 3 days to walk back. And so every family needs to plan ahead on how do you get to Jerusalem. You need to plan how do you bring your assets there. And of course, you cannot bring everything. You need to leave some things back at home. And when you arrive in Jerusalem, it's still there's still no time to rest because everybody was there. The city was full, and most likely you will need to camp in tents outside the city. And so, friends, while this Passover was a joyous occasion for the Jews, it was also difficult and troublesome. It caused them to leave their work, their mundane life, and what was normal for them for more than a week in order to come to Jerusalem and to celebrate this festival. And so when I look at this passage, my question is why? Why is God so particular on this? For us as modern human beings, we value convenience. And I think that if we live during the times of the past, we have found obeying this command to be very difficult. But friends, the reason why I believe God is so particular on this is because if we read the book of Deuteronomy, we know that human beings are forgetful creatures. We are creatures who take what we have for granted. We are creatures that are never satisfied, and we easily forget who is our Lord and our Savior. And I think the reason why the Passover was celebrated was for two reasons. Firstly, the difficulty, the festivities, and the unique commands, such as eating the lamb in one sitting and the unleavened bread, would function as a form of reminder for the Israelites. It reminds them that they now dwell in the promised land, in a land overflowing with milk and honey, and that this was not always the case. In fact, their ancestors were once slaves in a foreign land, and it was the grace of God who redeemed them, and that all the blessings that they have now was given to them by God. Friends, if we are now in our sixth week of our sixth series on Deuteronomy, and you've been paying attention as you read scripture, you will notice that there's one reoccurring theme in the book of Deuteronomy, and that is Moses telling the people to remember, to not forget. And again, this is because we humans are forgetful creatures. And we can see this even with the great King David, because in his early years, we saw that he sought to please the Lord in all that he did. But in his latter life, after being king for a while, we see from his actions that he took this for granted, and sometimes he forgot that everything that he had was given to him by God. Now, the Passover is a stark reminder to the Israelites on who they were, where they come from, and who did they belong to. There is another note that these festivals are also it's an opportunity for education. Now, when it comes to education, what usually comes to our minds are formal platforms, such as schools, or classrooms, or curriculums. However, this passage actually reveals to us how people in the past would educate their family members or young ones in their midst. You see, in the Passover, there was a custom where the youngest child would ask these four questions. On all other nights, we will either eat bread or matzah. Matzah is unleavened bread, roti canai. On this night, why do we only eat matzah? On all other nights, we eat herbs or vegetables of any kind. On this night, why bitter herbs? The children will remember this. I don't know any child that likes to eat bitter food. On all other nights, we do not dip once. On this night, how come we dip twice? On all other nights, we eat our meals in any way we want. But on this night, how come we sit together in a reclining position? Now, friends, after the child asked these four questions, this was an opportunity for the head of the family to tell the story of why this night is so different. And by doing so, he is educating the younger family members on the importance and occasions of the Passover. Now, actually, if you have done a Passover meal before, it's actually very interesting on seeing how they educate their child. One of the things they'll actually do is that they will break the bread, like how we break the bread for the Holy Communion. They will set aside three breads, and one of the bread, they will take it, they will hide it, and then the children will have to find it throughout the dinner time. Quite interesting, huh? Yeah, we should have a meal soon. All right, one other benefit from the practice of the Passover is that as the stories are being told again, what the head of the family is doing is that he is reminding the other family members of their identity. Now, for us, if we have a foreign visitor coming over during Chinese New Year, when they witness the tossing of the yisang, they will surely ask us questions. They will ask things like, why are you guys playing with your food? Or why are you guys doing this? Because nobody does this in most parts of the world. And this then is a chance for us to explain why we celebrate Chinese New Year and why we toss Yi Sang before every meal. Likewise, the Passover is an opportunity for education and discipleship for the family when they come together. From this also, I'm personally reminded of how my parents discipled me when I was a young child. Now, as a child or teenager, I never liked going to church. Some more in those days, our service was at 7:30 a.m. Crazy, man. Right, yeah. Right, but my parents would never, would always insist that I follow them to church, regardless if we were away on holiday or even if I had exams. And when I look back today, by asking me to go to church, they are actually educating and discipling me that going to church is something that is very important. I remember me and my brother asked them many times, why? Why should we go to church? After all, my contemporaries didn't turn up during exam season. But I remember my parents telling me this, that while exams are important, God is important as well. Friends, this is a reminder that discipleship or Christian education doesn't just take place in a formal setting like a Sunday service or classroom, but rather Christian education and discipleship can take place and should take place in the mundane and the special moments of life. And it is our actions and principles that will allow us to instill values of faith and hope to the younger generation in our midst. Now, this is just a Passover, but there are still two more festivals to go. The two other festivals that the Israelites are called to celebrate. For the first one is known as the Feast of Weeks. And this week is calculated exactly 7 weeks, that's why it's called Feast of Weeks, or 50 days after the Passover. It's similar for us. We can relate to this because, you know, we have this holiday period in Christmas, and then suddenly, in no time, boom, Chinese New Year comes around. Likewise, the Feast of Weeks just takes place 50 days, 1.5 months after the Passover. This is a harvest festival, and they were again required to go to the appointed place of worship for this. And in the New Testament, this festival is also known as Pentecost. This was a time of joy and celebration, and they are to bring an unspecified offering again for this occasion. As I mentioned earlier, traveling is not an easy task. Just bringing your family and assets is hard enough, but during this festival, they are supposed to bring their grain offering all the way to the place of worship, which is Jerusalem. And so here we can see that the Israelites were called to celebrate this festival, and that means that at least twice a year, they were required to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. But again, that's not the case because there is a third festival, and this is called the Festival of Shelters, Booths, or Tents. Now, unlike the first two festivals, which is just over a month apart, this third festival is located some months down the line during autumn time. And this was also a harvest festival, which celebrates the harvest of both crops and fruits. And similarly to the previous two festivals, the Israelites are again expected to go to the place of worship, which is Jerusalem. And this time, for the Feast of Weeks of Booths, they need to spend 8 days there. Now, during the festival, the Israelites, whether you are a citizen of Jerusalem or whether you stay somewhere far away, you are expected to stay in tents outside the city for these 8 days. And that's why it's called the Feast of Tents. And this reminded them that they were once travelers and nomads in the desert without a home. And it was a guidance and the provision of God which they are able to enjoy the current land that they have today. Now, friends, I'm sure that most of us are aware that tomorrow is a public holiday. And having just celebrated Vesak last week, I think one good and bad thing about Malaysia is that we have an abundance of public holidays. I think when other people come to our country to work, they might be questioning, how can you guys be so productive with so many holidays? You know, Chinese New Year, then suddenly Raya. And some more in addition to these holidays, if the Malaysian badminton team wins, got extra holidays some more. I'm not a badminton fan, but I do miss the times where Lee Chong Wei was playing. Not because he brought glory to our nation, but also when he was playing. There was a potential 2 extra holidays every year. But all jokes aside, this was actually probably how the other nations saw Israel. They will question, why is this country having so many holidays and festivals? And here I must remind us of the purpose and mission of Israel. And here, let us turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4 on why the Israelites were commanded to obey the law. This is what it says. Obey them completely, obey the law completely, and you will display your wisdom and intelligence among the surrounding nations. When they hear all these decrees, they will exclaim, "How wise and prudent are the people of this great nation. For what great nation has a God as near to them as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call on him? And what great nation has decrees and regulations as righteous and fair as this body of instructions that I'm giving you today?" Now, friends, this is the mission of Israel. God would provide and protect this small nation, and he will give them laws to obey. So when all the other nations around them see the practices of Israel, they will be drawn to the Lord. Now, friends, I must mention that the laws of Israel was not meant to restrict them or that our God is a disciplinarian by nature, but rather the purpose of all these laws was actually to benefit the people of Israel. And these laws tells us of a God that is wise, that loves and cares for humanity. And why I say this was because in those days, the nations around them probably didn't have a day off. They were focused on working and providing for their families. So the fact that the Israelites have a weekly day off in the Sabbath and also these additional festivals was something that is not only countercultural to the Israelites, but also to the entire known world then. Friends, not including the weekly Sabbath, the Israelites were commanded to stop work, to leave their towns and head toward the designated place of worship. For the Passover, they would celebrate for 7 days. For the Feast of Weeks, just 1 day. But for the Feast of Booths, they celebrated 8 days. If you include the traveling time, that's a lot of days not working. So imagine if you own a farm in the region of Galilee, 3 times a year, you will need to leave everything behind, make a 3-day journey to Jerusalem, and pray that when you get back home, everything will still be okay. Friends, from this passage today, I want to draw 3 applications from this law, from the principles of this law. And these 3 principles is reliance, remembrance, and rejoicing. Now, the first principle that this law teaches is reliance of God, or reliance on God. Now, one thing that I noticed from this passage is that if I were to put myself in the shoes of Israelites, there will be 3 things that I will have of concern. Firstly, if I'm gone for so long, what will wild animals and pests do to my property? Several years ago, me and Lydia, we went to Malacca for Chinese New Year. We came back a bit earlier because we wanted to beat the jam, and we arrived in our in-laws' house in Cheras. And when we got back home, we found that everything was in a mess. And first, we thought that robbers have broke in, but after closer examination, we realized that it was only the food that was in a mess. And we deduced that a monkey probably made its way in had its way with the food in the house. All right, yeah, so that's it, yeah. So if you're gone for so long, we might be worried that rats and other pests might come in to disturb our property. Now, the second concern that I will have is if I'm gone for so long, would other people come to try to take what is mine? Especially that everybody knows that these are the dates of celebration. Now, my third concern is what if other nations decide to invade our country during this period? And since everyone was in Jerusalem, what about security from robbers and against the threat of invasion from other countries? Friends, this call to leave home 3 times a year to celebrate this festival is actually intended to teach the Israelites what it means to rely on God. That in their obedience to God, God will protect their property and their nation. And this was also intended for Israel to detach themselves from material possessions. That while owning possessions is not wrong, these festivals was a way of ensuring that the Israelites were not too obsessed with projects and properties. Friends, for us today, in a world of increasing prices and instability, humanity is tempted to build our financial security and careers. And just as Pastor Jeremy preached last week, sometimes in a world of social media and comparisons, sometimes we as humans might get too attached on what we need to have in order not to fall behind. So church, just as the people of God then, the Israelites had to learn how to rely on God, we too, Christians today, should learn to rely on Him. Now, I'm not saying that we need to take as many days off as the Israelites, but I think that sometimes we need to guard things that are important. And these things are maybe personal time with God. Maybe it's spend time reading the Bible or praying. Maybe it's coming to church or meeting in cell groups or growing in our faith. Friends, I know that as busy residents of the Klang Valley, setting aside this time sometimes is hard. And sometimes it seems impossible. And I'm not asking you to drop everything to make time for these things. But what I'm challenging us this morning is to learn to set apart times that are non-negotiable so that we can learn to rely on God better. Now, the next principle from this festival is remembrance. For the Passover, the call for the people of Israel is to remember where they came from and how they were saved. For the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, they are called to remember that it is the Lord their God that is their provider and not the pagan gods that their neighbors worship, such as Baal and Asherah. For the Feast of Booths and Shelters, they are called to remember that they were once travelers and nomads, and so they should love the nomads and foreigners in their midst. As I mentioned earlier, humans are forgetful creatures because we so easily forget who we are, how we were saved, and who is our provider. And our human tendency is to trust in our own strength and turn to other things or other gods for our securities. And we sometimes, when we are successful, we might have the tendency to think that all we have succeeded with is because of our own work. Friends, these festivals that the Israelites have caused disturbances and inconvenience in order to help the Israelites remember better. Now, for us Christians, we also have many celebrations. We have the seasons of Lent and Advent, and we also celebrate the events of Good Friday, Easter, some churches' Pentecost Sunday, which was 2 weeks ago, and Christmas. But for us today, as Christians this morning, I would like us to take our Sunday service as a weekly mini festival, because our Sunday service functions as a form of remembrance for us. Because friends, when we come to church, and I mean come to church physically, it can be inconvenient, especially if we have children. And just as the Israelites in the past found it inconvenient to come to Jerusalem, we too might find it inconvenient to come to church on Sunday. After all, we might be tempted to sleep in, to rest, to do our shopping, to catch up on our other things. But friends, despite this inconvenience, there is still a purpose for us to gather here on Sunday. Because as we gather together, we remember who we are. We remember we live in a fallen world. We remember who God is. And as we sing the worship songs together, we remember who God is, what He has done. And as we remember, we proclaim His goodness and faithfulness to one another. As we partake of the Holy Communion, like what we did this morning, we remember to love, to forgive. But more importantly, no matter how far we are away from God, God reminds us through the wine and through the new covenant that He loves us and we belong to Him. As we pray together, as we are led through the pastoral prayer, we remember that we are in a fallen world. We remember that people are suffering. We remember that there are church members that are hurting and going through a difficult time. And if we ourselves are suffering and hurting, we are reminded that the church, the people of God, right now during prayer, is interceding on our behalf. When we hear the announcements, we are reminded that there is much work to be done, that discipleship is a never-ending journey, and we are reminded to participate. As we hear the scripture being read and preached, we are reminded of the gospel, that we worship a God of grace, and the God of grace, this God of grace, desires obedience from His people. And even when the service is over, we are reminded of community and care. As we walk around the concourse, as we catch up with old friends, or maybe meet up with people we haven't seen in a while, we are reminded that God didn't just save me, but He has saved other people as well, and He has brought us together as the people of God. Church, Sunday service is a mini festival to the Christian today. It is inconvenient. Sometimes it is difficult to come. But it helps us remember because of circumstances and human nature. Sometimes, as we forget, may I ask that we just embrace the inconvenience to come to Sunday service as often as we can. The last principle of these festivals is to rejoice. Now, one common theme of these three festivals is that the Israelites are commanded to rejoice and to celebrate together. For the Passover, they are commanded to eat no bread for the first 6 days, but the last day is a day where no work is done and it's a day of celebration. For the Feast of Week and Tents, they are called to celebrate the festival and harvest. Now, friends, sometimes it's easy for us to celebrate, but sometimes it can be the hardest thing for us to do. For those of us that are going through bad times, a breakup, a divorce, losing a job or loved one, and much more. If we are going through all these things, it may be difficult to celebrate and rejoice. And I don't think that our God would expect someone who's going through something difficult to celebrate enthusiastically regardless of the circumstances. But friends, I believe that these festivals are a time of celebration and joy because it points us and reminds us that there is a world that is to come. In our world right now today, we see wars, we see violence, we see hardship. But we know that there will come a time where all these things will be put to an end. Now, friends, make no mistake. I do not believe that celebrations and rejoicing will cause our problems to go away. But, friends, I think that celebrating these festivals as Christians allow us to look towards the future and reminds us that one day our Lord Jesus will come again. And in that place, it will be a place of eternal rejoicing. But until that day, we rejoice. We take the small wins and we take one step at a time. Before I end the sermon, I want to talk about the issue of convenience. As I mentioned earlier, making this journey 3 times a year was of much inconvenience. And this actually became a practical problem when the northern and southern kingdom was divided because of King Rehoboam's arrogance and pride. Now, King Jeroboam, the king in the north, has a big problem because 3 times a year, his people will go to the southern kingdom, to Jerusalem, for these festivals, and they would be enticed to stay there. Maybe for us, it is like Malaysians, where we travel to Singapore, as we see their infrastructure and superior currency, we might be tempted to stay or to work there. So King Jeroboam was facing this problem, and what he did to solve it was he built 2 places of worship, one in the city of Bethel and one in the city of Dan. So this was in the most northernmost and southernmost region in the country. So if King Jeroboam was ruling Malaysia, maybe he'll put one in Alor Setar and the second one in Johor Bahru. So King Jeroboam thought he was smart. He made worship convenient and accessible to the people. And instead of 1 designated place of worship, now got 2. So he thought what he did was a good thing. But if we read in Scripture, we will see that the Lord rebuked him and declared that because of this, his lineage as king would come to an end. And so, it did. But the damage has already been done, because if you read the Scriptures, you will notice there is no good king in the northern kingdom. And you read many times that it was these 2 places of worship which turned Israel away from God. Friends, in our world, one of the greatest idols is the idol of convenience. Especially after COVID-19, it's so easy to tune in at the comfort of our bed. Or it's easy to come to church, but not to serve. Or sometimes, we don't even go to church at all. We just check out a recording sometime during the week. But friends, being a Christian is not about living a life of convenience. After all, the generation before mine had to defy their parents in order to come to church. And if you live during the first 300 years of Christianity, where Christianity was illegal and punishable by death, Christians all over the Roman Empire risked their life just to meet together. So friends, when it comes to learning about the Bible, coming to church and being discipled, these are not easy things to do. One must put in the hours and the effort to learn and to be discipled. Joining a cell group can be inconvenient, especially when you could use that weeknight to watch Netflix and just relax. When it comes to counseling or ministering to a church member in need, one thing that you will know is that there is never a convenient moment to do so. Friends, sometimes being a disciple commands us to surrender our convenience. And my encouragement to us is that we take one step at a time. If you have not been to church in a while, come back to church. If you have not been in a cell group, or you have not been to your cell group in a while, visit them. Try joining up just once a month. If you feel that you are stagnant in your spiritual life, put in the effort to grow. Join a CD class, take up a course, spend time reading the Bible and praying. Friends, these festivals in the Old Testament teach us that sometimes there are more important things in life than just our convenience. And my prayer is that we learn to be uncomfortable, to not hold on to the things of the temporal, and to allow the Holy Spirit to give us courage, boldness, and discernment to overcome the idol of convenience today. Friends, more than 2,000 years ago, the Israelites were commanded to celebrate these festivals as a purposeful interruption in their lives. This interruption was inconvenient. It was difficult, and it took time, it took planning, it took their energy. But this interruption allowed them to learn to rely on God, to remember what He has done for them, and also to rejoice and celebrate every moment in life. Church, my prayer this morning is that we see Sunday service and as a cell group as a valuable interruption to our mundane and daily lives, and that it will teach us to rely on God. It will teach us and help us to remember of our identity as God's people, and it will teach us and help us enjoy and help us rejoice together, and especially in every moment of our lives.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, make disciples.